السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، الحمد لله. If we study دين الإسلام، the birthplace and where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received prophethood, that is Nabuwa. The struggles, the difficulties, the persecution the Muslims had to put up just because they were firm in their faith, believing in the oneness of Allah, and that Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Allah's true messenger. When now it became difficult to propagate and to practice deen in Makkah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the outskirts, and that was Taif. We know that was the most difficult time for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his life. What happened to him in that travel for 2 miles, being pelted, ridiculed, persecuted? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lesson from him, that man will turn you away, something better awaits you. The people of Taif rejected the call of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in the same token, whilst returning to Makkah, how many jinnats accepted Islam on the hands of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Muslims were now encouraged to migrate. Some went to Abyssinia, 2 migrations took place, and then they started migrating towards Medina. For the people of Medina, a handful of Muslims were accommodating, sympathetic towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. In the meantime, the leaders of Makkah, despite persecuting the Muslims, they fell a dent in their pockets. For there was boycotts, and Muslims, they driving them out, it's going to hurt them financially. So they decided to have a council and meeting as to what is the next step. As the leaders gathered, there was a great sheikh who was dressed like a scholar and a man full of wisdom. When he was asked by the leaders of the Meccans, "Who are you?" he said, "I am a sheikh from Najd. I would also want to participate in this important meeting of yours." And in this meeting, the topic was how to stop the spread of Islam and what to do with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some came up with the idea to put the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in chains and leave him under house arrest. Some say put him in jail. Sheikh Najd, he is actually shaitan. He came in the form of man, and up till today in our so-called councils and our so-called United Nations and all these great leaders that we call, amongst them there are shaitans as well, believe me. And he says, no, if you're going to imprison the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his followers are prepared to give their lives for him. They will break him, they will set him free. Some says, banish him from Makkah, send him out of Makkah. Sheikh Najd says, no, if you're going to send him away from Makkah, he might get hold of the place where he sent to, win the hearts of people, and the same people will come and attack us. So that too is not a good idea. Abu Jahl gives his input, and he says the best is to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you kill him, he's the root cause. Islam will come to a halt. He can't move on. Sheikh Najd, shaitan himself, says, good idea. And they're not aware it's shaitan. Brilliant idea. But then a question arises, who's going to undertake this task? Who's going to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For they will avenge the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muslims will see who killed him. They will either kill him or take it out on their tribe and so forth. That time there were a lot of tribal feuds. So Abu Jahl comes up with another plan. And he says, from each clan and each tribe, the strongest youth, one should be appointed. Gather all the youth and let them surround the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he comes out for the early morning prayer, all at once should strike him. So now to point fingers at a particular youth or a particular tribe is difficult. So to avenge that death is going to be difficult for the Muslims. Sheikh Najd agrees. He says, brilliant idea. In the meantime, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives divine instructions, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moment you are waiting for, and that is migrating towards Yathrab, the green light, go ahead. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first person he goes to is to the house of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. It's midday. Hazrat Aisha is still very young. Nikah has already taken place. She sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she says, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming is something very important. It is very hot. He won't come this time. It must be something of importance. Nonetheless, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. As he knocks at the door, Hazrat Abu Bakr gets up. He opens the door. He sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He welcomes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, oh Abu Bakr, is there any outsiders in your home? Hazrat Abu Bakr says, no, it's only my household members. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I have been given instructions to undertake this great hijrah. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I beg thee, grant me permission to accompany you on this great journey. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him the go-ahead. Hazrat Aisha says, Wallahi, I've never seen my father so happy and filled with joy when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave my father and granted him permission to accompany him. In the meantime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down Jibreel Amin. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. The planning and the plotting of the kuffar. They want to now imprison you. They want to banish you. Some want you killed. And Allah says, they can plan, we can plan, but the best of planners is Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to Hazrat Ali. He says, O Ali, tonight you're sleeping in my bed, and your covering is going to be my covering, what I used to cover myself with. And he explains why I'm going on hijrah. I'm leaving Makkah. What is the iman of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Yeah, we claim to love one another. We will do anything for one another. Only when it suits me and you, believe me, if there's benefit for me and you. The moment if that relationship somewhat changes, that I have to sacrifice for somebody else and I have to take the name and the brunt for somebody else, I'm the first one that's going to run away. Hazrat Ali knows his hands in his palm, he's got his life ready to sacrifice for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's going to be sleeping on that bed. The enemies can come and strike him and kill him, but he's not deterred. He's prepared to give his life for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He agrees. Hazrat Ali goes into the bed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as usual, the very same time, gets up. He leaves the house. The house is surrounded with the youth, with their naked swords, waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave, and then they can pounce at him at once. But wallahi, when you for Allah, Allah become for Allah is yours. He reads the ayah, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّوا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah, blind them from the front of me and from behind me. Do not let them see me. He takes a handful of dust and he blows it towards them. Wallahi, he walks with ease under their noses and they cannot see him. They cannot see him. Speak to the Mujahideen during the time when the Iron Curtain fell in Russia. These Mujahideen would read the very same ayah and walk into the tanks of the enemy. They couldn't even see them walking. We also know that, Wazifa. When we come from Hajj and Umrah at customs, you see everybody's lips moving. Believe me, these custom guys are so sharp that the moment they see lips moving, they know this guy you must take out. It only helps for the pleasure of Allah and when you're on truth. It doesn't work for everything else. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walks. One of the enemies, he's not aware of this plan, and he comes and he sees this group of youth with naked swords and he says, what are you people doing? He says, we're waiting for the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to come out. We want to kill him. He says, but he just left now. They said, no, can't be. Let's go peep. And when, as they're peeping, somebody's sleeping. And who's that? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to Hazrat Abu Bakr. They jump from the back window. It is a... The kuffar are aware that the Muslims are leaving towards Yathrib, towards the north of Makkah. So obviously the first place they're going to search for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in that direction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Hazrat Abu Bakr, let's go southerly, the opposite direction. Hazrat Abu Bakr is in front. As Hazrat Abu Bakr is walking in front to see if there's any danger from the front, then he walks behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking maybe somebody is following. Then he carries the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that there isn't set of two footprints, two people's footprints, so only one person. Hazrat Abu Bakr was really concerned until they came to a cave which is known as Ghar Thawr. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before we enter, let me go and clean it, see if there's any venomous or poisonous insect or snakes. Let me get rid of it, and once it's clean, you can come in. There were holes from which snakes would come out from. Hazrat Abu Bakr had a cloth, he tore it into pieces, he plugged all the holes, excepting one. He didn't have sufficient cloth, he placed his foot on it, he called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can rest on me, place your head on my lap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a spider that spins a web and covers the mouth, pigeon that lays eggs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands a small tree to come forward. It lowers its branches and covers the mouth of this cave. In the meantime, these people are wondering, why isn't the Prophet coming out? The enemies. They broke him. They bulged him. And they grabbed that particular covering only to see Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. They were now deceived. You can imagine the fury and anger in them. They started beating Hazrat Ali. For 1 hour, they started torturing him. Where is your guide? Where is your prophet? He doesn't know. And he's not lying. Anyway, in the meantime, people are in search for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some did come towards a southerly direction. In the books of Sirah, the enemies were right to the mouth of this particular cave and the others are saying, did you enter? And this man is saying, no. How can I enter? Because this web looks older than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's pigeons there with eggs. They would have flown away. There's branches we would have seen because they were great trackers. You know, any harkat, any movement of branches, they could figure out if anybody walked or anything of that sort. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is panicking. Not for his life. He's worried of if they catch us, what is going to happen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many incidents took place in the cave. We don't have time. But nonetheless, just getting to this point. As he's shaking, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, oh Abu Bakr, uskut. Be still. Be silent. Why are you panicking? Thaniyan Allahu thalithahuma. We are two, the third, Allah is with us. And Allah speaks of it in the Quran, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Do not fear, O Abu Bakr, Allah is with us. The moment the Prophet ﷺ said that, Hazrat Abu Bakr became calm. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ السَّكِينَةِ And Allah's peace descended upon him. And then the kuffar decided to urinate. He's sitting and urinating. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, he can't see us. Because he's sitting and he can see into the hole. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah has blinded him, he can't see us. If he would see us, he wouldn't have been urinating. Now two lessons. One is even the kuffar should sit and urinate. Today we stand and urinate. Even the kuffar should sit and urinate. Nonetheless. And they had sharam and haya. If somebody was watching them, they wouldn't have urinated. Today in front of everybody, we flash everything and it seems fine. In the meantime, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, son Abdullah, who's still young. During the day, he is roaming the streets of Makkah, overhearing the plans of the kuffar, and at night he would come to the cave. And Hazrat Abu Bakr's servant, Amir ibn Fuhaira, he was a shepherd. During the day, he used to take all his goats with the remaining shepherds to graze. At night, he would come to the cave, milk the goats and give it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr, and then he would take the path of Abdullah, the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr, so those animals would cover the tracks of the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr. Nonetheless, to cut it a bit short, sometime passed, 3 days, three nights, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, now it's time to move. Hazrat Abu Bakr calls for his two camels. When the camels are brought, Hazrat Abu Bakr says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you choose which camel you want. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on condition I pay for my own camel. He says, no, I've already purchased these camels for this journey. I'm waiting for this moment, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chooses Qaswa, which we know the famous animal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr in the meantime already planned for a guide by the name of Abdullah ibn Uriqit or Iriqit, who's going to be guiding them, who's a non-Muslim but very trustworthy. They took the coastal route towards Medina. As they're moving towards Medina, somebody coming from that direction to Makkah sees these two people, and then when he gets to Makkah, only to hear there's a reward for that person that can track and find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dead or alive, 100 camels. So he comes and he says to the Meccans, I saw these people, and he describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr. So there was a wise man, Greek, by the name of Suraka. Suraka says, no, they are just two ordinary businessmen, they look like them, but they are not the Prophet and Abu Bakr Siddiq. I know them, they were lost and they were looking for their possessions. Meanwhile, he is planning to capture the Prophet ﷺ so he can get his 100 camels. So he goes out of the meeting and he tells his servant, get my horse, the fastest one, get my arrows, which we toss the coin, isn't it, heads or tails. And if you look at that coin, both sides there's heads. Here they would have arrows which they should take nekfal, whether we should undertake a journey or not, whether we should do it or not. Draw these arrows, and he had his spear. And he started galloping towards that direction, and he caught up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr saw this and he's panicking. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reading Quran. Don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. Allah is with us. Suraka himself says that wallahi, the front legs of my horse sunk into a rock. Not sand, rock. He got off, he's drawing lots whether he should tail the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and let loose his arrows, and the lot say no, but greed now pushes him forward. He manages to get the horse's legs out. As he goes forward, again this horse's legs goes into the ground. Now he can't take it out. So he shouts out at the Prophet ﷺ, oh Muhammad, please pray for my horse. Nabi ﷺ makes dua, the horse's legs are let loose. It's a long incident also. Finally, they come to an agreement. Nabi ﷺ says, you go back to Makkah, don't attack me, and don't tell the people of Makkah you caught up with me. Only then I will release you. Agreed? Suraka leaves. In the meantime, they come to a place where there's two tents belonging to Mu'abbad and her husband. The one tent is for travelers and wayfarers that they could come and rest and camp, and after that they can continue their journey. Both Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are hungry, thirsty. They go to Mu'abbad, she's got a goat. They said, please, can we have some milk? Mu'abbad says, no. Because this goat, if you're looking at it, it's dry. It doesn't even have a drop of milk in his udders. And my husband is gone in search for so long just to get some food or something to drink. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks permission. Can I milk the goat? She gives permission. Wallahi, there's so much milk. Mu'abbad drinks to her full. Hazrat Abu Bakr, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam brings to his full. And then he even fills that bowl and he says, when your husband comes, give it to him. Wallahi, that particular goat, because it was blessed with the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it only died during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Nonetheless, they continue. Both Mu'abbad and when her husband came, both accept Islam. In front is coming a man with about 80 men by the name of Buraida Aslami. And he comes and he halts right in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are you? He says, first, who are you? He said, I'm Buraida Aslami. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Aslami got to do with peace. Let's take a good omen, nothing to fear. He says, from which tribe? He says, Bani Saham. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, now it's even more. Don't fear. Saham means ease. Don't worry. Allah will make it easy for us. That Buraida Aslami asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are you? He says, I'm Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. He says, this is, I'm here for you, to capture you so I can get 100 camels. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, you won't do it. Then there Buraida Aslami together with his 80 men accept Islam. He says, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm going to now guide you to Medina. And he takes his spear and he puts his amama and he becomes the guide of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Finally, they enter Medina. First, they go to Masjid Quba, the first masjid to be built in Islam for a few days. After 3 days, Hazrat Ali comes. The reason for his delay, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, listen here, the kuffar, despite planning and plotting to kill me, they had their valuables. I was entrusted with them. I was the trustee. Therefore, O Ali, do not come till you do not give every single person's possession back. The same people that wanted to kill him, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, no, it's justified, we can usurp their wealth. That is amana. So think, in this country, let us not look for easy fatwas and maslas that benefits me and you. Amanat is amanat, whether it's the enemy of Islam or whether it's your enemy. Nonetheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now it's the day of Jummah, he decides to leave Masjid Quba and go to Yathrib, but he leaves the reins of the camel. First, the first Jummah is performed in Bani Salim, where the Bani Salim resided, the first Jummah in Islam. From there, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave the reins of the camel. And each tribe is coming. What an atmosphere. Wallahi, our akabir make mention. Just try and picture that situation, that we wish we were the dust that came off the hoofs of the animal of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each tribe is wanting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come to us, we good warriors, we will protect you. Others will say, we good businessmen, we will take care of your needs. Every tribe wants the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's not in my hands, it's in the hands of Allah. Wherever Allah wants this camel to stop, that is where I'm going to be. Comes to Bani Najjar, the tribe of Najjar. Subhanallah. Women are all on the chat, on the rooftops. Men and children are all on the pathway. More than 500, you know, welcoming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Girls 5-6 years old. Believe me, no Montessori, no preschool or primary school, and no jalsa preparations. Today in our madrasas, sometimes the preparations for the jalsa, they take so much time, more than teaching the syllabus. That's a reality. It's more show. And these girls, all of a sudden, who inspired them? It's only from Allah. What a way to welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tala al-badru alayna.
من ثنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داعي.
Who taught those little girls? You know, Arabic is such a vast language. You take the new moon, they call it Hilal. You take a half a moon, you call it Qamar. You take the full moon, you call it Badr. Who taught the girls to compare the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to the new moon or half moon, but the full moon? Tala al-Badr, welcome, O full moon. Subhanallah. One can imagine that situation. And this is Hijrah. This Hijrah was the means of synchronizing the so-called lunar or the Islamic calendar. So from this, we entered Muharram. It's a new year. The past, make tawbah. Let us now enter this new year in a different way. Entering into Medina changed the face and history of Islam. From here, this became the Markaz and nucleus where the Noor spread through all four corners of the world. So this new year, we thank Allah that He has made it possible we witnessing another one. And let us commence with it in a way that will be beneficial for me, for our families, the Ummah, and for all of men put together, inshaAllah. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah.